In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Andy. Good morning.
Hi, everyone. I'm doing my best Pastor Nathan imitation this morning. Sit in with a band, deliver a sermon. Hey? Cheap imitation of Pastor Nathan. He's so good at it. I'm not sure if we need a sermon. It's been so good already. Paul and Sherry were really awesome leading worship, and then Doug and Rochelle brought the word and brought it with freedom and power. It was pretty cool. And then the dancers, thanks guys. Wow, we got so many talented people that let the Lord use their gifts. It's really cool here, isn't it? Help me, Lord. I'm still recovering from it all. Actually, I'm going to put you guys to work right away. Okay? We're looking at this question, who do you say that I am? And Jesus said it to his disciples and to Peter, but I want you to think about two things. Upstairs, they have little discussions sometimes during the sermon, so we're going to do that this morning in a little bit. I want you to turn to the person next to you, if you think they're friendly and will talk to you. I think they will. We've got a pretty friendly group. Look on each side and then decide which one you want to turn to. But don't isolate anybody that doesn't get turned to anybody. And ask these two questions. First, ask, what is mystery? Or how would you define the word mystery? And then ask, if you have time, maybe the other person asks, the person that asks them, well, then what is revelation? Okay? You got about a minute or two. Find someone and get a definition from your friend on those two words, mystery and revelation. Okay, if you haven't already, go to question two. What's revelation? Yeah. This group here is really pondering well. Okay, I'll interrupt your discussions. Couple people throw some things out. What mystery? What did people say? Anybody? Okay, that's the second one. Sorry? Yeah, what's that one? I got you. I see that hand. What's mystery? The day ahead is a mystery. That's a good picture of mystery. You don't know what's going to happen. You wake up and the day ahead of us is a mystery. That's a very good picture. I like that one. This one here. Something that needs to be discovered, and she added something that we long to be discovered. You always want to know what's going on in a mystery, don't you? Raymond said it's something you got to find out what's happening. That's a mystery. I like that one, Raymond. One more. Something has happened, but you don't know why. Okay. Mystery is you. Ooh, one more. Yeah, you get small snapshots of what might have happened, but you haven't figured it, you haven't put it all together yet. That's part of mystery, yeah. So the Bible uses the word mystery quite a bit, and in Greek, mysterion or something like that. And that's, you guys are right, it's a hidden thing. It's a secret thing, and it's not obvious to understanding. And so often we use the term mystery for TV shows or mystery movies. So Barb and I were watching this detective series from England, and where this guy, he's a detective, and it's during the World War II in England, and there's a murder in his village. A lot of murders in this guy's village, because every week there's one. And he's got to figure it out, right? He's called, and there's clues, right? And so if you really concentrate, the game is you want to try and guess before he announces it, right? And we rarely do. And then he confronts the murderer, and they deny it. And then he walks through every clue that you didn't pick up on and say, well, this is why I know. And then the guy, you know, the murderer always admits it to him, you know. But in the Bible, if God came up with a mystery and he hid something, even if he gave clues, I don't think we'd figure it out. Because if God's going to hide something, we're not going to figure it out. But we long to. I really like that picture. We long to. So in order to get that, we need the second word, right? We need revelation from him. So how did you guys define revelation? A mystery revealed. How do you define mystery and revelation without using the words mystery or revelation? And it's harder because Raymond was trying to, he was going, well, it's something that's revealed to you. And I go, I know, but now try and define it without using that word. You don't have something. Well, now you're just being mysterious, but you won't reveal what you were talking about. I think they were probably talking about something else. Getting a new understanding in something, but it requires you transform your, like your thinking or your understanding? Oh, yeah, they're still talking. Someone else, here. The light comes on, you get it. In the corner. A new discovery. Yeah, yeah, it's like a duh. Okay, that's right. Apokalypsis, I guess, is the Greek word. Laying bare, disclosure of truth, concerning things before unknown. So hold on to those two thoughts, mystery and revelation. So for the last few weeks, we've been the gang here has been studying the life of Peter. And not really him, but kind of his actions and his reactions to Jesus who entered his life. And so in a way, we're actually walking through the life of Jesus week after week, but we're learning from Peter's reactions to him and reactions to him and his responses along the way. And so Jesus began to teach and show himself, and he started to do some incredible miracles, and he gathered some followers. Some men and women started to follow him, and Peter was one of them. So it all happened kind of here. That's kind of a little simple map of Israel. I don't know if you can see those little places there. But this is kind of the area that Jesus hung out most of all. Right at the bottom of the map, if you can see Bethlehem in the middle bottom, that's where he was born. And then he moved to Egypt for a couple of years. His parents had to flee there. And then when they got back from Egypt, you got to go north, kind of in the middle, and you can kind of see the little blue circle, that Sea of Galilee. Just down to the left is Nazareth. That's where he grew up. And then for some reason, he started to head over to that Sea of Galilee, and he just hung out there a lot. And that's kind of what we've been looking at over the last couple of weeks, is his introduction of himself to Peter and his friends and others all around the Sea of Galilee. And Capernaum, kind of on the top of the sea there, if you can read that, was Peter's hometown, and it seems like that was kind of Jesus' home base. And so it seems like he would do stuff around Galilee, and then he'd take his followers on little side trips. And sometimes he would do that down to Jerusalem. And he'd go down to Jerusalem and then really teach stuff, and he'd get himself in trouble. Like, it seemed that whenever he went to Jerusalem, there was just action going on, and he was in lots of trouble. And he'd often leave Jerusalem because he had to. You know, he just had to escape, and Galilee is a lot quieter. So he'd go back there, or he'd cross the Jordan. But one time he went north. So if you can see the little sea, and you go up kind of up to the top of the map, and you can see the little dot there called Caesarea Philippi. And so he was going that way with his followers. And if you got a Bible, you can turn to Matthew 16, or open your phone app and turn there. Never thought I'd live long enough to say, open your phone Bible apps to Matthew 16. Kind of cool to say, eh? It's also in Mark chapter 8, and it's also in Luke. The conversation's in Luke, but Luke doesn't say where it is. But Matthew and Mark do. One says he's on his way to Caesarea Philippi, and one guy says he's in the area. So he's going up north to that area. And I'm not going to talk much about Caesarea Philippi. It's quite fascinating because I think the guys next week will probably get into how the area and Peter's conversation kind of went together a little bit. So are we there? There. We're in Matthew 16 on our apps here. So I'll read it. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" So he asks an opening question to his followers, and they throw out some, I guess they were common answers of the day. Some people say this, some people say that. And then he gets more pointed. "Yeah, but what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And then there's Peter. Peter just jumps right in, and he blurts out the answer. And when he does, Jesus then says some very fascinating things. But you know what? This morning, I was given one assignment by Andy by email. He said, "Just talk about that question. Who do you say that I am?" And so I was emailing back and forth. I go, "Oh, Peter's response is really cool, and Jesus really responded cool." And he goes, "No. Peter's response is for the week after you, and Jesus' response to Peter is for the week after that. And so you can't talk about any of that stuff. All you can talk about is the question. That's my assignment today. All I'm allowed to talk about is the question." So my assignment, and I have chosen to accept it, is to stay with that question, or we'll explore it with you. I'm going to pull you in. Who do you... It'll explode? Oh, yeah, it's all going to... Everything here is going to disappear when I'm done the assignment. Once I understand it, it'll self-destruct. Who do you say that I am? But that's... Is there any more important question in life to ponder? So let's ponder this. Who is Jesus anyway? And this is very ironic. I didn't tell Andy this. I'll confess it now. Barb and I got to go to Israel last June, and that's where we hung out, actually. And we wandered around the Sea of Galilee and got to see all the spots. And you guess, you know, well, that might have been the Sermon on the Mount. That might have been the mountain he preached on. That might have been the one, because everyone's kind of guessing. It was a couple thousand years ago. But Bethesda is still there. We went to Capernaum. We saw the ruins of the synagogue he taught in, and it's just so cool. And we also went to Jerusalem and wandered around and got to the Temple Mount. Not very many people, non-Muslims, are allowed to go there. We discovered you can go there 2 hours a week, and we got in, and it was just awesome. And so ever since, that was June, I've just been reading the Gospels. That's all I've been reading, mostly. And because it's just so cool to, you read the story, and then you can kind of go, "Hey, well, I was there, like I saw that," you know. So it's been pretty cool to read. But I'm reading for another reason, because while I'm imagining all these places, I can see them in my head now. I got a confession, Andy. I'm now trying to figure out who Jesus is. And usually the guys they ask to stand up here and do the preaching, they're supposed to know answers, right? So I didn't tell them this. But ever since I've been there, I thought I needed a fresh understanding of who Jesus is. So I kind of confess that. And so it's ironic that you would ask me to speak on this question, because for 8 months I've been reading the Gospels going, "Who is this guy?" That doesn't give you a lot of confidence knowing what's going to come next, eh? Because you know why? I've read other parts of the Bible too, and I've discovered something else. Jesus is a mystery. And if he's a mystery of God, we're not going to figure him out. Well, there's no way. If there's something about Jesus that's hidden or has been hidden, even if we long to, I really like that, we're not going to figure it out. It's like those detective shows, one of these weeks I'm going to figure out who did the murder before the guy announces it, because I'm going to concentrate. But if it's hidden by God, you can't figure it out. He's a mystery. Let me show you some fascinating verses in Ephesians. Paul's writing. He says, in reading this then, he's writing a letter to people in Ephesus, you will understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Jesus is a mystery. To Colossians, he mentions it a couple times. He writes to those guys and goes, my purpose is that they might be encouraged in heart, united in love, so they might have full riches of complete understanding, in order so then they might know the mystery of God, namely Christ. He's mysterious. So he ends his letter to Colossians, and pray for us too, that God might open a door for our message so that we might proclaim or explain the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. You know, a mystery of God needs our second word, revelation. To figure out the answer to Jesus' question, if he's asking us, we can't figure it out. We need revelation. Lord, this morning we need revelation, or we can't answer your question. So God started a story, started a mystery story that you get the clues and then you get into it, kind of like what we were talking about. Because in Romans, Paul says, to him who's been able to establish by my gospel the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past. So it's been this mystery that had been going on for ages. And I guess was slowly revealed with clues, and that whets your appetite, and then you're trying to figure it out. But if it's really hidden, you're not going to figure it out until he's like the detective and goes, here's the answer. Okay. So, I think our assignment this morning, this, if we go back to Caesarea Philippi and he asks, you know, to the guys and girls that are following him, those two questions, it reminds me of a talk radio show, actually. So, they kind of asked me to get into the responses, but the responses, I don't think are going to help us because they don't know. It's like talk radio. You know talk radio? You ever listen to that? Sometimes when we're driving late at night, you can pick up the ones from the States, you know, and you get the really right-wing guys and the really left-wing guys, and it gets pretty crazy. But talk radio, there's a host always, and he goes, okay, tonight's question is, and he asks some provocative question. The lines are now open. And then all of a sudden, people just start calling, right? And they just give opinions. They just give opinions on this question, whether they know anything about it or not. Everyone's just beaking off on this question, right? So then he brings in the expert. Well, we got an expert from the university, so-and-so. And that expert just gives their informed opinion, right, on the issue. And then they bring in another expert, and they just say the total opposite, right? But they're informed too. And then the phone lines get hot again. That's what that little conversation reminded me of. Well, who are people saying I am? It's like talk radio. Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Well, that's the nuttiest answer ever. No, I don't think I'm John the Baptist. Like, he baptized me. So we're cousins, but we're not the same. Some say Elijah. And still others say you're Jeremiah. Well, maybe you're one of the other prophets. These guys don't know. It's like talk radio. Guys, we need revelation, don't we? Those people aren't helping us. Because Jesus is a mystery. Or he's part of a mystery. A mystery that's been hidden for long ages past. So, God began to set up his mystery story a long time ago. We've got to go back to Genesis. You can turn there if you want. Genesis chapter 3. We're going to long ages past. And if you remember the story, created the world, created a man, created the woman, put him in a garden, said don't eat one fruit. They got deceived. They ate it. They get all ashamed. They're hiding. They put fig leaves all over themselves to cover their shame and their nakedness. And God finds them. And he starts talking to them. And then he starts talking to the one who deceived them, Satan, the deceiver. And he says to Satan this, I'm going to put enmity. Enmity? Did I say that right? Which is conflict, isn't it? Between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring, which I would think is going to be a lot of people. But then God says something fascinating. He. Well, who? There's not a lot of people around at this point. He will crush your head, and you'll strike his heel. Who's he talking about? Oh, Adam and Eve didn't know. But the mystery begins. The revelation begins. He's mentioned somebody that's fascinating. Maybe they started longing for him. Well, who's this guy? Satan just really pulled a bad one on us. Who's going to crush his head? So he started talking about someone that's going to come. And then in chapter 3, it's just the statement. The Lord made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And I think that's a picture. Because they were running around in fig leaves. And imagine if the Garden of Eden was in Winnipeg in February. And they did that. And they were using fig leaves for clothing. It'd be bad. What if people didn't come up with better clothing, you know, for thousands of years? We'd be hurting here with fig leaves. The picture of the fig leaves is it's a bad solution. It's bad fashion. It's a bad look. It doesn't protect you. It doesn't cover the nakedness very well. It's just not a very good solution. So God comes and gives them leather. I love the look of leather, eh? We won't get into that. But a better garment. So God came up with a better solution to theirs. And I think that's a picture of Jesus. We come up with all sorts of solutions to handle our shame and our hiddenness and all this stuff. And he comes up with a better one. Leather. And he would have had to sacrifice an animal. And that animal's blood would have been spilled. And the clue and the wheels are starting to turn. Here's a clue here. Here's your first clue. So the whole Old Testament, I think, is this big, long mystery story where they talk about someone who's going to show up. And there's things in history that just remind you of, now that we know the story, of Jesus. He put all sorts of clues. But if it's a mystery of God, you're not going to quite figure it all out. But there's lots there, eh? So the Old Testament is the mystery story. Do we have time to read the Old Testament, Andy? He says yes, so let's get going. No, we don't have time to read the whole, so we'll skip ahead into the story. As soon as I find out where I am in my notes here. So the Jewish people were people of expectation, weren't they? And the time that Jesus lived in was a time of expectation. People were expecting this person to arrive, weren't they? And sometimes little clues would still happen. Revelations, actually. It happened when Jesus was 8 days old. You know this story? He's 8 days old. His parents leave Bethlehem and walk the few miles to Jerusalem because on the eighth day, he's got to be, as a male, he's got to be circumcised. And there's a guy there that's had some revelation into the mystery. And he sees Jesus. And here's the story. I'll read it. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Listen to this. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, who Rochelle talked about today, that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Christ. That's what they were waiting for, weren't they? This person. So moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom of the law required, Simeon takes this little 8-year-old boy into his arms. And he started praising God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you've promised, you can now dismiss me in peace, because my eyes have seen your salvation, in which you have prepared in sight of all the people, And then listen to what he says, a light of revelation for all the Gentiles, that's us, non-Jews, and for glory to your people Israel. One guy got revelation from the Holy Spirit, and he recognized Jesus was when he was just an eight-day-old baby. That's the one. But he probably died shortly after. That's all he was waiting for. And he said, you can take me now. I've seen him. And for about 30-some-odd years, no one's figuring out who Jesus is that we know of, because he's a mystery. But it proves you need revelation. And when you get it, you know who he is, even when he's a baby. So, are we okay? Are you following us? Yeah? Okay. If you want to figure out who Jesus is, a really cool book to read is the book of John, the Gospel of John. I really like it. Because I think one of the themes of the Gospel of John is the identity of Jesus. Because all through that book, people are engaging that question and arguing about who he is and questioning who he is. And in that book, John records tons of different ways that Jesus actually describes himself. He said, but he does it in pictures too, eh? Because it's a mystery story. He goes, well, I'm bread. I'm the light of the world. I'm from above. I'm not of this world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection. One time he said, oh yeah, you guys call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I'm the true vine. Every one of those statements is recorded in the book of John. In that book, he's just revealing himself, but it's pictures, isn't it? It's just pictures. And then they argue. They argue about him. It's kind of a cool book to read. So that might be the backdrop to... John doesn't record this discussion in Caesarea Philippi, actually. But Jesus must have known everybody's just going crazy trying to figure out who he is. So he asks the question to the guys and to the girls. Well, who do people say that I am? They beak off the, you know, the radio hour answers. Well, who do you think that I am? And then it comes to a really cool climax. Turn to the book of, in John, if you have a Bible, to chapter 8. He's in Jerusalem. He starts teaching. And remember whenever he went there, he'd get himself into trouble. So he's on the Temple Mount. They bring him a woman in adultery. They don't bring the guy, we don't hear his, but they bring the woman. He does something amazing. They get all ticked off. And a little while later, he just keeps teaching. And it's just going to climax. It's just going to get nutty, this conversation. Let's go there, John chapter 8. We'll jump in and out of the conversation. And he's going to get himself into trouble here. So verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, here it is, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So there's some revelation. But look at the next verse. The Pharisees just get after him. Immediately they challenge him. Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony's not valid. So he's saying, they're saying, you can't just make bold statements about yourself if you don't have backup. You got to have backup if you're going to talk like this. So he kind of just starts defending himself, and he says why he can say this and why the Father is his backup. And we won't read the whole chapter, but it just kind of, he talks and they argue, and he talks and they argue. It just goes on like this. So let's jump back in around verse 24. He says, I told you that you die in your sins. If you don't believe that I am the one I claim to be, you'll indeed die in your sins. Well, I've got the one I claim to be in brackets here on the little PowerPoint here, because he never said that. The translators have just thrown that in there. But he never said that part. He actually said, I told you to die in your sins. If you don't believe I am, you'll indeed die in your sins. They couldn't add that part. So he just said, if you don't believe I am, hold that thought. Just hold that thought for a minute. So look how they respond, verse 25. They just ask him. They're just really fed up with this mystery and this guy. Who are you? And then I think he just ticks them off because it's a maddening response. Just what I've been claiming all along. Well, come on. Tell us who you are, man. Haven't I been telling you all along? Like, the mystery story. I'm going crazy, you know. I'm like, who? Just tell us who you are here. Well, who I've claimed to be all along. So he teaches them some more. And he teaches, they respond. He brings in sin, he brings in death, and he brings Abraham into the story. Abraham's like a couple thousand years ago. And then they start saying, well, we're Abraham's children. He goes, no, you're not. So then it just gets more and more frustrating for I think, the people listening to him. And so they just get mad, and they finally tell him who he is. They answer, verse 48, if you're following along in there in yours. Aren't we right in saying you're a Samaritan and demon-possessed? Now they're just trash-talking. Hey? When hopefully we don't do it around here, but some races don't get along and some people groups don't get along. And so if you got a people group you really hate, you just call them, and it's just nasty. So I go to Africa every once in a while, and I'll be driving along, and little kids or old men will just go, Muzungu! And finally, that's Swahili for white man. So hopefully they're saying it in a friendly way. Hey, white guy. But if they don't like white man, they're going, Muzungu! Like, hey, white man, like, get lost. We don't like you, you know? So people just do this. So this is what they've now gone to. Hey, Samaritan. Because they didn't like Samaritans, right? Hey, you're demon-possessed. We don't know who you are, but we know you're nuts. It's just really degrading. But he just keeps going. And he just said, no, I'm not that. He actually goes, no, I'm not. And then he keeps going. So move down a little bit. It's going to climax here pretty soon. He brought Abraham into the conversation. And so they want to be children of Abraham. So they're pretty mad about that. So he says, they say to him, are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. And then they ask him again. Who do you think you are? You know, that's a little nastier than who are you. It's like, who do you think you are? They want to know. And so he begins to tell them. He goes on about himself, his relationship with God, talks a little more about Abraham, and then we come to the climax. Starting in verse 56. He said, your father Abraham, he rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. And now they're really ticked off and they don't get him. Because he's talking about a guy that lived 2,000 years before this. You're not even 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? And then he says, well, it's translated, I tell you the truth. But in at least in the Greek translation, it's amen, amen, which just means truth. It means, so he just goes, true, true. He just says that twice. Amen and amen. In other words, what I'm going to say right now is truth. Not that he ever doesn't say truth, but hear this, because this is true. And then he says this amazing thing. Before Abraham was born, I am. Bad grammar. I am. Not I was, or I was around, or I saw him, or just I am. And they go to stone him now. They're so mad. They would have killed him on the spot. They're so angry. Why? Because they did know a story about when God did reveal himself. And about 1,000 years earlier, he revealed himself to Moses, who was wandering through the desert. And Moses saw this bush that was burning but didn't burn up. And then a voice came out of this bush. And this voice said, this is God here talking. And the voice and God began to give Moses all sorts of instructions about how he had to return to Israel and lead the people and scaring Moses to death. And this voice, this God in this bush, said, you got to go do this. And you got to go tell the people of Israel that I sent you. So Moses says to him, okay, suppose I go to them and say, the God of your fathers has sent me. And they ask me, what's his name? What am I going to tell him? Because God had never named himself yet. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am sent me to you. That's the very name of God. They didn't even write that down. They left it blank in the scriptures. It was such a holy name. Jews aren't even allowed to say it in Hebrew out loud because only God can. And so Jesus, at the height of this argument, says, I am. There's the revelation. The mystery solved. He's revealed himself very, very plainly. I'm the God that talked to Moses. And they were believers in the God of Moses, weren't they? And the God of Abraham. I'm God. That's what he's saying. He's just revealed himself. We have the revelation. It's no longer a mystery. What we long for has arrived. He's the God of Moses. He's the one that's going to crush Satan's head, isn't he? He's that one that God promised. He's the leather jacket. Because we just don't know what to do with our sin, and we hide and we cover ourselves in all sorts of stupid ways, like fig leaves, and we try and cover our shame, and God comes and brings something better. It costs some sacrifice. It costs some blood. But when you're clothed with it, you're taken care of by God. He's the fulfillment of that picture. And he just admitted it. Who do you say that I am? We can answer that question because now we have revelation. It's a mystery till he gives us the answer. But he couldn't be any clearer that day. I'm God. And if he was lying, they were right to stone him because he was blaspheming. But it turns out he's right. Amen and amen. It's true. It's true. I'm God. And it really becomes an important question if we go back to when he actually said it a few minutes before in verse 24. I told you you'd die in your sins if you don't believe that I am. You will indeed die in your sins. You see, he's the one that's come to save us from our sin. That's who he is. He's the solution that we've been longing for. He's the promise to Adam and Eve. He's the better solution. And the Old Testament just set him up. Clue after clue after clue set up his arrival. And on that day in Jerusalem, he revealed himself. We now know the answer to the question, who is Jesus? Why don't we just ask him to reveal himself afresh to us? We need revelation. Maybe you guys could lead in worship and Sometimes people have you stand, but if he's your God, you might want to kneel. Or if you might feel like you're Peter last week in the boat, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. You might just want to sit and ponder this. Or you might want to stand in exaltation. It doesn't matter. But let's ask God to come. We need the revelation of the Holy Spirit. We need to just say to him in a fresh, for him to say to us in a fresh way, I'm your God. I'm your solution. I'm the one you've been longing for. So it might be the first time in your life you've said, yes, Jesus, you're everything I've been longing for. Or you might want to renew that. Why don't we pray? If you want to come forward, maybe some prayers come. And if you want some prayer and ask God to reveal Jesus to you, or if you have another issue that you want Jesus to fulfill, because he's the one, isn't he? He's the leather jacket. He's a better solution to what you've been trying to do. So if you want some prayer about that, people will pray for you and ask Jesus to show you the covering he wants to give you or the healing he wants to give you. Come on forward. He's the answer to the greatest question, but it's no longer a mystery. So, Father, thanks. Your mystery story has been amazing. For thousands of years, you've been revealing this story. And as we heard, we long for it. We're fascinated by it. We want to know the answer. And Jesus even asked the guys, what is the answer? Well, we're not sure. But Jesus, you revealed yourself. You did. Many different ways and so many pictures. You are the shepherd. You are the gate. You are the door. You are light. You are the way. You are the truth. You are life. You are. You are God. Come and continue to save, Lord. Continue to reveal yourself.